All right, welcome back to the Dark Delight Show. My name is Josh, and I hope everybody is having a fantastic day. When you start seeing these small little things increase over time, you start seeing the propensity of them increase, you start understanding that this agenda is moving forward faster and faster. And that's what we do here, is we uncover the unfolding global conspiracy, this agenda by these radicals in the world that are trying to undermine, usurp the United States Constitution, the liberties, the freedoms, the sovereignty of the American people, as well as the global population. They've already implemented their whole reign of population control. We are dealing with people who are eugenicists. If you don't understand what that means, please, what I highly recommend is you go out and you look in the foundation of where Planned Parenthood actually started. Who funded it? The Rockefeller Foundation. How it derived from? This would be the family courts out of the late 19th century. Family courts were also known as eugenics courts, where basically people could report you and you could get a social service person show up at your house and they would issue you a summons. You would go to court and the judge could castrate you legally. Hundreds of thousands of Americans were castrated illegally. Well, not illegally. It was legally because the state laws actually allowed it to happen in the late 19th century and the early 20th century. And see, the word eugenics was really removed from the vocabulary around the time of World War II because of, well, what Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime was doing. But, you know, the Nazi regime was funded by these same people. It was funded by American industrialists. It was funded by bankers, international bankers, American bankers. You know, one quick fact that many people don't understand is the Federal Reserve Bank, which was a plan devised by Senator Aldrich, who was married to a Rothschild, by the way, and Paul Warburg on Jekyll Island in 1912. And the Federal Reserve Act came into play in 1913. Woodrow Wilson signed it into law on Christmas Eve when the majority of Congress was on leave. Is that Paul Warburg was really the genius behind this. Now, interesting name, Warburg, right? International Banking Dynasty, a name that you don't hear very much, and it's really not attributed around the same name as the Rothschilds, but it's another one to look into. But his brother, Max Warburg, and by the way, this is in the United States of America, Paul Warburg, Secretary of Treasury under Woodrow Wilson, okay? His brother, Max Warburg, was the chief of Nazi intelligence during World War I. Now think about that. The chief of German intelligence during World War I and helped plan World War II. Think about that for a second. That gives a great credence to who really funded these wars and why they funded these wars and what these wars were really about. Now, we have a war going on here in America. And the other day we talked about the American flag and what it stands for and why I stand for the American flag, why I stand for the national anthem, why I put my hand over my heart for the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm a patriot through and through. I have a big old American flag tattooed on my arm. It's like one of my only tattoos. Laugh at me now. But listen, Memorial Day is coming up. We need to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Because if they looked at the state of our country right now, I promise you, they would be disgusted. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who is in Avon, New York, and we just had school board elections over in Caledonia. That's my hometown where I grew up in, and a few of their friends were running in this election. And these friends are very, very conservative, very, very religious in nature, and have been fighting against critical race theory, have been fighting against diversity, equity, and inclusion protocols that are being implemented into these school systems as low as the elementary school. This is crazy. And I listened to a few stories of what these two candidates went through. One of them's husband had cow innards. That's right, the guts of a cow thrown at them at their mailbox. There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on here. And there's even inclinations that the school board election was rigged, that there was voter fraud. Apparently, from eyewitness accounts, from people who went and voted, and I know a lot of people in this town, they weren't checking IDs. They were letting anybody who walked in vote. They weren't checking signatures. And so a person could go in there and vote 2, 3, 4 times. People from other towns could go in there and vote. And so we have a big problem in just the local communities here in the United States of America. And this is a bigger issue. Now, DEI is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Okay. Now, this derives from something greater that falls under the Davos Pros, the World Economic Forum, and the Great Reset. This is known as ESG. Elon Musk mentioned this the other day in his tweets. ESG is a scam, absolutely 100% a scam. Environmental, social, and governance. Now, the environmental aspect comes in the part for producing a sustainable future. I think everybody understands that we need a sustainable future. We need to stop raping the earth of its resources, and we need to start going in the direction to where we have some type of free energy that is developed. But in the meantime, we have to utilize the proper energy components that we actually have. And so, as well as this is why Janet Yellen, the Secretary of Treasury, is going to the European nations and the Asian nations and putting back on the board about global corporate tax. And the next thing that comes after that is the implementation of green credits. And these are carbon credits, if you've ever heard of them. There's a whole market, a $1 trillion market out right now pertaining to carbon credits. And basically what this means is that if you're a corporation, if you're a business, if you're a multinational corporation, each one of you are going to be rated with an ESG score, and that falls under three categories: environmental, social, and governance. The environmental aspect, basically what they're going to do is they're going to add up how much waste you're producing each year, how much waste that is going to help kill the earth, as they say, in the sense of global warming, how much carbon you are actually producing, how much pollution you're producing. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to mitigate that outflow with carbon credits, and so that you can keep on producing. And this is a whole new derivative system that's being developed, as well as carbon taxes. Now, that's a big scam, and I think we all understand that's a big scam. But the two other ones, social and governments, these ones are the most important to start looking at right now. Social, this is where DEI falls under. This is a subcategory. DEI is a subcategory of social. This is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Okay, then governments. Governance comes about through something known as the World Economic Forum as public-private partnerships, PPP. And how this operates is basically a business's relationship with the government to derive various policies that benefit both, or as they say, the people. And this is just another name for communism. It really is. It's just another name for communism. The governance aspect of ESG, public-private partnerships, is just another name for communism. It's just like in the sense of Amtrak and the airline industries, that there's a board member that sits on the board of directors as a direct representative of the government, and they have a say-all card that they can pull at any time. They can overrule the board of directors. This is what they are trying to implement in the United States, in the United States businesses and corporations, and throughout the world. ESG, though, is the one that's affecting us socially and culturally. Now, or not ESG, sorry, DEI is the one that's affecting us socially and culturally. If you go to your business, if you go to work, you might notice that your work has a DEI policy. You have a DEI officer, right? That maybe your work is out there, and instead of hiring the person that's most qualified for the job, they hire the person who is more minority fit for the job. Yes, this is happening all over the country right now, and we're seeing it being implemented into our schools. Critical race theory, a whole different topic, is based upon falsehoods, falsities. It's based upon lies. It was produced in the 1980s at Harvard Law School to basically utilize as a hypothetical scenario. It teaches children that all minorities are suppressed with their liberties and their freedoms, and that all white people are racist inherently. But then there's this other part, equity. Equity. Now, we've heard of equality, right? The 1964 Civil Rights Act brought about certain measures of equality. You really didn't need it because, well, guess what? Everybody is endowed by their creator with the same inherent rights, freedoms, and liberties. You know, just because one person thinks differently than another doesn't mean that that person is being suppressed. If that person is in control of a job, what we need is we need to have more types of reporting agencies to those businesses, to those HRs, which have a different level to go in there and investigate these types of things. Maybe record every interview to make sure that people aren't being discriminated against. But people, I think, discrimination is something of the past. I think that it does exist in our world today. It does exist in our country today. But that is more fueled and radicalized by the mainstream media, by the leftist propaganda, and by the disinformation that is out there. But equity, I wanted to talk about this because if you start looking into the World Economic Forum, you start seeing certain definitions. And what we have is equality versus equity. Now, this is opportunity versus outcome. Now, let me ask you this. In the United States of America, everybody is given the same opportunity to succeed. Now, some people would argue with me saying, well, you know, it depends on where you went to school, where you grew up, what type of neighborhood you grew up in. The wealthier kids in the wealthier neighborhood had better education and therefore had better opportunity. Is that the case? Is that truly the case? Hey guys, Josh here. Mike Lindell of MyPillow has been an amazing patriot supporting President Trump and conservative and Christian values throughout the last 4 to 5 years with everything that's been going on. We ask you to go out to MyPillow.com and help support Mike Lindell as well as myself and this show, The Dark to Light Show, with using promo code RPP to save up to 66% on your purchase.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
The world is becoming more unglued by the day. Local consequences are now showing up. We are seeing sky-high gas prices, higher food prices, shortages, and more. How should you respond? Go to redpills.tv/patriot. That's redpills.tv/patriot. And secure your long-term emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is by far the largest preparedness company in America. They're in stock and shipping quickly in unmarked boxes to your door. Their emergency food supplies last up to 25 years in storage. When you need it, it'll be there. Lunches, dinners, drinks, and snacks totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Get free shipping on any order over $99. Again, go to redpills.tv/patriot. The global financial system is on the verge of collapse. Here in the United States of America, we have rising inflation, rising cost of goods and services from gas to food. We have supply chain disruptions. We have the incompetent presidency of the United States of America running the U.S. dollar into the ground by debasing it, by radicalized spending and printing. There is only one thing in this world right now that is a worthy investment that has been the hedge for inflation year after year. Guys, that's gold and silver. Look, I invest in gold and silver, and there's no reason why you should not either. My buddy, Dr. Kirk Elliott, is an economist and financial advisor, and he is amazing at what he does by helping you get your 401ks, your IRAs, or just helping you purchase gold and silver bullion. You can give him a call at 720-605-3900 or go to getgoldtoday.com and let him know that Josh from the Red Pill Project sent you.
Dark to Light with Josh Reed.
I know that we're talking about some very, very heated comments here. And I'll tell you, what's happening in Caledonia, the small town just outside of Rochester, is atrocious. There's some severe radicalism going on there. And it's happening on social media posts as well. And it's not stemming from the right. It's not stemming from conservatives or religious people. It's stemming from people who claim to be social justice warriors, people who claim to be, you know, self-proclaimed prophets. You know, it's funny because, you know, some of them are wealthy white people whose family has had lawsuit after lawsuit because of, you know, poisoning the town's water supply. But anyways, that's besides the point. But anyways, what we're talking about here is we're talking about outcome versus opportunity. Now, think about this. This is the difference between equality and equity. And what they're pushing in our schools is this equity, that all kids should have the same outcome, not the same opportunity. This started in the 1990s with participation medals. Hey, you did good. You played in the game. Here's a medal for you. You know, colleges, Ivy League schools are now starting to get rid of grades. Grades! Because, you know, not everybody's going to have the same opportunity to get a degree, but everybody will have the same outcome. Everybody gets a degree. It's a participation degree. This is how worthless higher education is. This is how worthless it's becoming in our public education system. It's probably best to just homeschool your children these days. It makes a lot more sense because they're going to get a better education. They're going to be instilled with the morals and ethical values that you were. But think about this. What would you rather have? Would you rather have the same outcome as your neighbor? The same outcome as a person you're competing against? Or would you rather have the same opportunity? Opportunity drives success. Opportunity drives hard work, resilience, persistence. It drives intelligence because in some cases you have to go out there and you have to research endlessly to have that upper edge. You have to go out there and you have to have this experience and skill set within your industry that takes you above and beyond your competition. Where in the sense of outcome, this promotes laziness, pestilence, right? Think about in the sense of outcome. How many people are going to show up to do the work if everybody gets the same outcome? Businesses are moving towards this outcome-based model in where they have certain cues that they have to fill, right? They have to fill their certain quotas each quarter of what type of people they're going to hire. This month, we want 6 black people, we want 10 Hispanic people, and we want 1 white person. This is what outcome derives, not opportunity. It's no longer about having quality. It's no longer about having someone who's more qualified for a job, more qualified for a position, more qualified to teach our children. Instead, it's about the equality of outcome. And this is a sad state of affairs that America has come to this level of communism, this level of socialism, because this is where these all derive from. This comes from the Socialist Manifesto. This comes from Karl Marx. This comes from the thinking of 100 years of socialism. And these people have been planning this for a long, long time. It is the erosion and the destruction of rights and the freedoms and the liberties of the American people, of the American way of life. It is the infiltration of our social, our cultural, our financial, our economic, our political systems. I watched an interview the other day of a California congressman being interviewed, and he was asked simply the statement, "What is a woman?" And he declared that this interview was over, got up, and walked away. Matt Walsh is coming out with this new documentary, "What is a Woman?" He's asking this question. And he's talking about these various drugs that are being given to children, which they say are completely reversible. When these children believe, or the seed is planted in their mind that they're somehow, you know, not the sex that they were born as. And we have to understand that a child from the age of infancy to 7 to 8 years of age exists in the alpha brain state, which is completely opened up to suggestion. This is the opening of the subconscious mind. The Catholic priest used to say, "Give me a child to the age of 7 and I'll give you a Catholic for life." And there is a reason behind that. And these kids are being filled with this junk, with this garbage. And they're being promulgated into this mental illness of gender dysphoria, of confusion. Leave our children alone. But in the interview, he's asking this doctor who treats these young children with these chemical drugs that change their gender. And she goes, "Yeah, you know, it's completely irreversible, and it's you know, it's a process that helps with their mental health." And then he said, "Isn't this the same drug that has been utilized throughout history to castrate pedophiles?" And she declared at that moment that interview was over. We have a big problem here in the United States of America. And the evil and the darkness of it, the blackness, the filth, is emanating from your local communities. It is a persistent pestilence that has no end. And as long as we allow our children's minds to be fed with this garbage, with this insanity, with this radicalism, our job will never be over as a parent. Our job will never be over as an American citizen. We take our stand now. We rise up. We stand up. This is where we take our stand. This is where we make our stand. We cannot allow our local communities, our local education systems, to fall in the hands of radicals. This is where it begins. This isn't where it ends. You know, our federal government might be corrupt beyond any means, that there's no saving our federal government, the federal contract with the people. But darn right we can save our communities. Darn right we can go out there and we can make a difference in our communities. I urge everybody out there, make sure you are going out and you're voting. Make sure that you are turning out en masse and hordes and voting for the candidates that you want to see in office. And when they lose, make sure you observe those elections, the election process. Make sure that you're in communication with the town or the county clerk or the village clerk or whoever it might be. Make sure that 2 days after the election, if you believe that there's criminality, that you are filing for a recount. In New York State, you have 2 days. Make sure that you are an observer at the recount. Because you know what? These people aren't elected. They steal elections. That's how they win. If the 2020 election proved anything to us, it was that these people are criminals. They are treasonous, radicalized criminals. That's who and what they are. And if we don't hold them accountable, nobody will. And they will just keep on doing it day in and day out until they have full, complete, and total control. We got to get motivated, people. And if you don't think that your voice matters, if you don't think that your vote matters, well, you're on the wrong side of history. Because it does. I talk about this often. James Madison, I got it right here, the Federalist Papers, right here on my desk. The Federalist Papers in Modern Languages Index for Today's Political Issues by Merriam-Webster. Federalist 46, James Madison, if you take a summarization of what he says there, this is the foundational aspect that brought about the 10th Amendment. But if you take what he says there, he says that people in the sight, in the view of tyranny and oppression coming about through either a foreign entity or the federal government need to stand up, get on their soapbox, have a point of disquietude, get out there, speak up. Voice your concerns. Show up to the town, the village, the city board meetings, the school board meetings. Hey guys, Josh here. Mike Lindell of MyPillow has been an amazing patriot supporting President Trump and conservative and Christian values throughout the last 4 to 5 years with everything that's been going on. We ask you to go out to MyPillow.com and help support Mike Lindell as well as myself and this show, The Dark Delight Show, with using promo code RPP to save up to 66% on your purchase.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
The world is becoming more unglued by the day. Local consequences are now showing up. We are seeing sky-high gas prices, higher food prices, shortages, and more. How should you respond? Go to redpills.tv/patriot. That's redpills.tv/patriot and secure your long-term emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is by far the largest preparedness company in America. They're in stock and shipping quickly in unmarked boxes to your door. Their emergency food supplies last up to 25 years in storage. When you need it, it'll be there. Lunches, dinners, drinks, and snacks totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Get free shipping on any order over $99. Again, go to redpills.tv/patriot. The global financial system is on the verge of collapse. Here in the United States of America, we have rising inflation, rising cost of goods and services from gas to food. We have supply chain disruptions. We have the incompetent presidency of the United States of America running the U.S. dollar into the ground by debasing it, by radicalized spending and printing. There is only one thing in this world right now that is a worthy investment that has been the hedge for inflation year after year. Guys, that's gold and silver. Look, I invest in gold and silver, and there's no reason why you should not either. My buddy, Dr. Kirk Elliott, is an economist and financial advisor, and he is amazing at what he does by helping you get your 401ks, your IRAs, or just helping you purchase gold and silver bullion. You can give him a call at 720-605-3900 or go to getgoldtoday.com and let him know that Josh from the Red Pill Project sent you.
Dark to Light with Josh Reed.
All right, we are back with the Dark to Light show, and we're talking about small towns. We're talking about America. I grew up in a small town. I say that often, and I probably got some people who know me listening. And that's okay, because you know what? This world is changing, and that change can be molded into the views of the people who lead it. And the question is who's leading this world into the future? Who's in control of this train that is flying down the tracks, headed to an unknown destination at incredible speeds? I had mentioned Federalist 46, and I actually wanted to read you something. This is from James Madison. The federal and state governments are simply agents and trustees of the people with different powers designed for different purposes. The adversaries of the Constitution seem to have lost sight of the people in their discussions on this subject, and they have viewed the federal and state governments not only as mutual rivals and enemies, but as uncontrolled in their efforts to usurp the authorities of each other. These gentlemen must be reminded of their error. They must be told that the ultimate authority, whatever its origin, resides in the people alone. Whether either one will be applied to enlarge its sphere of jurisdiction at the expense of the other will not depend on which is more ambitious or where it is located. The people determine what happens in this world, in this country. The people determine the direction. The people in the small community determine the direction of the community. You know, Caledonia is a relatively small town. I think there's less than 3,000 people. Maybe there's a little bit more. And the turnout was not that great. Why are people not voting? Is there so much distrust within the election process that people just don't believe that their elections are going to matter anymore? These people will continue to persist, cheat, steal elections, and radicalize our children if we sit and do nothing. And what we need to do is we need to take back the power, because the people ultimately hold the power. And it's not the majority of the people. It's the people that actually stand up. It's the people that actually get involved. It's the people that go out there and run for office, for public service. It's the people that go out there and support those that are running for public service. It's the people that go out there and vote. I believe that America is not dead. America is just going through a very, very bad case of apathy. We've been lied to. We've been cheated for decades. But that changes now. That changes with the fire that has been lit under your behind, to get you out there, to get everybody out there, to rise up and to speak up, to formulate your own position of disquietude. If you guys want to give me a call, you want to comment on this, you want to talk about this a little bit more, 585-346-3000, or you can call me toll-free, 866-552-1009. There was some things I wanted to get into with the news circuit. So we're coming up to the last. I'm sorry. I do these monologues. I do these rants sometimes, and I just go and I go and I go. But you know what? That's okay, because I think people need to hear it. And I hope that there's Democrats out there. I hope there's liberals out there that are listening to this right now, and they're going, man, I disagree with this man. And if you do, call up, talk to me. I want to hear your thoughts on it. I got a friend out there, and we were and he's on the left, and I'm on the conservative, on the right, and more of a moderate, but conservative. And we were discussing the vaccine. And I was being very cautious because, well, he got vaccinated. And I was sending him scientific studies from the National Institutes of Health. I was sending him the CDC's own words. I was sending him VAERS database information. And he tells me I'm wrong and sends me CNN articles, MSNBC articles, The Atlantic articles. Not one scientific paper, but that's the mentality. is that they are right because their positions of authority that are feeding them the information are right. That's the problem with what's going on here. We're going to go to the lines. Dave from Brockport. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? Great show. Talking about the school board and the school budget votes and things like that. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I was a resident of Greece a while back, and it seemed like every time we would vote down a budget because it was too excessive, they would have a revote, and they would have another revote until something passed to their liking. And then the last year that I was able to vote in Greece, they had a contingency budget, which was higher than the proposed budget. I'm like, okay, do I vote for death by lethal injection or the electric chair? You know, which is it?
Exactly, Dave. And that's what happens here, is that people get put in positions of authority and power, and they exasperate it to their benefit.
I'm in the Brockport Central Schools now, and I didn't see one vote sign. I went to their website. What are we talking about? Talk about un-user-friendly. Is that a word, un-user-friendly? User-unfriendly. It was just like, okay, this is all shrouded mystery, so I don't know. I can't trust any of these people. You know, they're all for honesty, integrity, and the children's welfare. Talking about this transition banana business, they go to their little PDF that they had. It was written in 2015. This didn't start yesterday. I just was aware of it yesterday. You know, this has been going on for a long time, man. This is crazy.
Well, Dave, I appreciate the call. And so in Caledonia, for example, one of the people who won the position on the school board didn't even campaign, didn't have any signs up, didn't have any posts on social media, and he won more votes than any other candidate, even the candidates that campaigned. We're going to go to the other lines. John from Rochester. What's up, John?
Hey, Josh. You know, a lot of this started with Bill Ayers and Bernadette Dorn. As you know, they were part of the violent Weather Underground, and I think one of the leaders of it, a number of people were killed because of them, and they ended up getting involved very heavily in education, and they're nationally recognized as some of the top educators in the United States. Here are these people that were murderers. We're on the loose for 10 years and got off on a technicality. It's unbelievable, and this is a problem in our system. And, you know, that started back in the late 70s, early 80s, and it's gotten a lot worse. We're to that point right now. I got to tell you, you're absolutely right. We got to get more involved with the school boards. I used to go to school board meetings, budget hearings for city budgets, county budgets, whatever, and I speak my piece about the budgets being too high. I would be the only one there on that issue. The rest of the people that showed up would be speaking about the budgets weren't high enough. It's unbelievable. And as far as what happened the other day, I wasn't aware of the Caledonia situation since you just mentioned it, but I voted in the Greece school board elections the other day. I at the last minute, I kind of forgot about them. I started texting people that I know, and I identified three of the candidates I thought which would be relatively conservative and not woke. And I passed that word around. Next time I'm going to do it a lot earlier because that's what we need to do.
That's right, and we need to utilize the assets that we have, things like social media. John, thanks for the call. Much appreciated. And we need to utilize things like social media. We need to go out there. We need to create groups. We need to get publicly active. We need to have meetups. You know, you mentioned Bill Ayers. You know, these people were influenced by the guy by the name of Saul Alinsky, who was pardoned by Bill Clinton. And Saul Alinsky had the rules for radicals. There are 8 levels of control that must be obtained before you are able to create a socialist state. The first is the most important, healthcare. Control healthcare and you control the people. What did Barack Obama try to implement? Oh, yeah, that's healthcare. What is it? What do they always say? Healthcare. Oh, I want social healthcare. I want healthcare for everybody. Everybody should have healthcare. These people know nothing of how free markets operate or what free markets are. Poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you are providing everything for them to live. Debt. Increase debt to the unsustainable level. That way, you are able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty. Gun control. Remove people's ability to defend themselves from the government. That way, you're able to create a police state. Welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives. Food, housing, income. Education. Take control of what people read and listen to. Take control of what children learn in school. Think Common Core. Religion. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools. Class warfare. Divide the people into wealthy and the poor. This will cause more discontent and will be easier to take tax from the wealthy with the support of the poor. Now, everything that I just said right there, this is like the Democrats' agenda in modern day. Healthcare, increased poverty, increasing taxes, increased debt, radicalized spending, gun control, giving more incentivized welfare benefits, hijacking our education, removing religion. Hey guys, Josh here. Mike Lindell of MyPillow has been an amazing patriot supporting President Trump and conservative and Christian values throughout the last 4 to 5 years with everything that's been going on. We ask you to go out to MyPillow.com and help support Mike Lindell as well as myself and this show, The Dark Delight Show, with using promo code RPP to save up to 66% on your purchase.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
The world is becoming more unglued by the day. Local consequences are now showing up. We are seeing sky-high gas prices, higher food prices, shortages, and more. How should you respond? Go to redpills.tv/patriot. That's redpills.tv/patriot. And secure your long-term emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is by far the largest preparedness company in America. They're in stock and shipping quickly in unmarked boxes to your door. Their emergency food supplies last up to 25 years in storage. When you need it, it'll be there. Lunches, dinners, drinks, and snacks totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Get free shipping on any order over $99. Again, go to redpills.tv/patriot. The global financial system is on the verge of collapse. Here in the United States of America, we have rising inflation, rising cost of goods and services from gas to food. We have supply chain disruptions. And we have the incompetent presidency of the United States of America running the U.S. dollar into the ground by debasing it, by radicalized spending and printing. There is only one thing in this world right now that is a worthy investment that has been the hedge for inflation year after year. Guys, that's gold and silver. Look, I invest in gold and silver, and there's no reason why you should not either. My buddy, Dr. Kirk Elliott, is an economist and financial advisor, and he is amazing at what he does by helping you get your 401ks, your IRAs, or just helping you purchase gold and silver bullion. You can give him a call at 720-605-3900 or go to getgoldtoday.com and let him know that Josh from the Red Pill Project sent you.
Dark Delight with Josh Reed.
All right, welcome back to the Dark Delight Show. We're going to go back to the lines. Keith, what's up, my man? How we doing?
Following on what Dave and John and yourself were saying, I'm happy to say I'm sorry, but I still say our side is deceiving itself to in thinking of the magnitude that our message is getting out. In the last 3 days, since I was last on your show, I've been asking people about this Avon radio station and your show. And sadly, the report, many people do not know of you. I would give the analogy, and I already gave it on another show with you when I said out of about 30 people that I can call friends and associates, I was the only one who knew about the conservative watchdog, judicial watch. And in closing, we're going to have to find a better way. In closing, that former Congressman Nunes was very good at protecting Trump during the impeachment hearings, now working for Trump's new platform, and we've got to get our message out much better. I love this Avon station. The owner, Dr. Bob Savage, and Mr. Bob D'Angelo is very good at the controls. They're all very good people, but in closing, a lot of people do not know of this station, and we've got to find a way of getting the message out, whether it's Trump or you, Mr. Reed. We've got to find the message, sir, in closing. It's just not getting out there to enough ears. A lot of people, I've been asking the last 3 days, a lot of people do not know of the station in your program, and it's very sad how many uninformed people are out there.
Well, appreciate the call, Keith, and thanks for hurting my feelings today. I'm joking. Listen, what we need to happen is people need to get out there and be more vocal about this station. People need to get out there and start spreading the words about it. They need to go to WYSL's Facebook page. They need to follow it, and then they need to share this show and tell people they need to listen to it. Let's go to the other line. Spencer, what's up, man?
Hey there, sir. I was just wondering, we're having these shootings locally, often with multiple victims, and I was wondering if there's any standards of what is deemed domestic terrorism. Are these gang-related, drug-related shootings with multiple victims, which add up on the weekly and on the monthly? Are those considered domestic terrorism events as well? Thanks.
Oh, absolutely not. Thank you, Spencer. I appreciate it. No, they're not. Just like in last weekend in Chicago, 48 people were shot. Over 7 of them died, and you hear absolutely nothing. When was the last time you saw Joe Biden go visit Chicago? Right? And the guns that these criminals, these gangbangers, these drug dealers actually get, they're not legal guns. They're guns from the black market. And so, you know, having tougher gun laws or gun restrictions doesn't do anything to stop crime. It doesn't do anything to decrease violence. And actually, if we look at liberal cities, New York City, we have L.A., we have Houston, we have Chicago. We see that tougher gun restrictions actually increase violent crime. Because now law-abiding citizens are unable to defend themselves. And, you know, we have these acts of what would be considered domestic terrorism that are occurring. And this comes about through a level of radicalization that starts in the indoctrination in our education in our school systems. Now, I know for a fact that if you start looking into every single one of these mass shootings that have happened in the United States of America, at these schools, at these public places, at the grocery store, one of them was in Colorado, and it's literally 15 minutes from my house at a King Super grocery store. That every single one of these shooters were evaluated for mental health weeks or months prior to the actual incidents. They were interviewed by law enforcement, i.e. FBI, or local law enforcement, prior to the incident. Now, that is a very, very incredible statistic to be thinking about in the sense of these mass shootings, especially when we start saying that, why do all of these mass shootings happen directly at the same time when anti-gun legislation is on the table, either in the Supreme Court, the federal government, or within that state specifically? How about this? The House of Representatives today just passed legislation to combat domestic terrorism in the wake of the mass shooting in Buffalo on Saturday by a white supremacist. House lawmakers on Wednesday passed the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act of 2022 in a 222-203 vote. The legislation, which has yet to make its way through Senate, would establish domestic terrorism units within the Department of Homeland Security, FBI, and Department of Justice. The bill would also create an interagency task force to analyze and combat white supremacist infiltration of the military and federal law enforcement. Now, that all sounds pretty and nice, but do we remember the National Terrorism Advisory System that was created under the Department of Homeland Security's 2022 in February bulletin that came out said that they are fighting disinformation and propaganda from domestic and homegrown terrorist organizations that are perpetuating disinformation, misinformation about the claim of the stolen 2020 election, about COVID-19, about vaccines, about Russia propaganda. Friends of mine have been labeled Russian propagandists by the federal government simply because they are telling the true story of what's happening in Russia and Ukraine. They're not coming after real radicals. They're coming after conservatives. They're coming after God-fearing Americans who stand by their convictions. They're coming after people who are bringing the truth and putting it out to the world. That's who they're coming after. Because you know what? You have to silence your opposition. You have to silence those who disagree with you. That is how radicals operate. You have to formulate events of crises so that your policies, the radicalized policies, can be put and implemented in place because of the fear and panic produced in the public by these crises events. Directive 51 is another one. This is something that the executive branch of the United States government, this is an authority that was granted to them. George Bush signed this into law in 2007. And it gives them the ability, in the advent of a natural disaster, a cataclysm, or a crisis that affects the people or the economy or the military posture of the United States, to go out there and identify these various people and arrest them and detain them illegally without due process of law and hold them against their will until they see fit. Now, think about what's happening here. Is they have these domestic terrorism units that are coming about. Then they have Directive 51. All they need now is the right crisis. It's coming, guys. I'm telling you. It's time for people to wake up, stand up, get ready. The new world order is here. Let's take back our country, you and me. This is the Dark to Light Show. We'll see you guys tomorrow.